News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. The government announced by the Taliban in Afghanistan is anything but inclusive, and the Afghan people will not accept a governing structure that excludes women and minorities, the country's envoy to the UN said on Wednesday, calling on the World Organization to reject the reinstatement of the Islamic Emirate. The Taliban had on Tuesday unveiled a hardline interim government led by Mullah Muhammad Hassan Akhund, with key roles being shared by high-profile members of the insurgent group, including a specially designated global terrorist of the dreaded Haqqani network as the interior minister. Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar will be Akhund's deputy in the new Islamic government. As I speak and today, the Taliban announced their government, it is anything but inclusive, Afghanistan's ambassador and permanent representative to the UN, Ghulam Isakhzai, said. Excluding China and Pakistan, Isakhzai's statements are being echoed the world over, with nations denouncing the Taliban for not keeping its promise of formulating a more broad-based and inclusive government, something it had gone hoarse promising after violently taking over the reins of power in Kabul on August 15. While China reiterated its stand that the Taliban should establish a broad-based and inclusive political structure, it also added that the new interim administration announced by the Taliban has put an end to anarchy in Afghanistan, terming it as a necessary step to restore order. "We pay attention to the formation of the government," Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Wang Wenbin said, responding to a question on the interim government announced by the Taliban in Kabul. "This has put an end to the anarchy in Afghanistan after over 3 weeks and the necessary step for Afghanistan to restore domestic order and pursue the post-war reconstruction," he said. The National Security Advisors of Russia and India held talks on Afghanistan on Wednesday and agreed that foreign militant groups operating from its soil posed a threat to Central Asia countries and India, a top government source said. There was a need for the Taliban to adhere to promises they had made, they said, following the meeting between Russian Security Council Secretary Nikolai Patrushev and Indian National Security Advisor Ajit Doval. The U.S. State Department has said that the U.S. is assessing the new Afghan government. "We note the announced list of names consists exclusively of individuals who are members of the Taliban or their close associates and no women," a State Department statement said. "We also are concerned by the affiliations and track records of some of the individuals. We understand that the Taliban has presented this as a caretaker cabinet. However, we will judge the Taliban by its actions, not words. We have made clear our expectation that the Afghan people deserve an inclusive government," it said. Qatar has said the Taliban have demonstrated pragmatism and should be judged on their actions as the undisputed rulers of Afghanistan, but stopped short of announcing formal recognition of the Islamists. Qatari Assistant Foreign Minister Lolwa Al-Khater told AFP that it would be up to the Afghans to determine their future, not the international community. Doha was the central intermediary between the Taliban, who opened a political office in Qatar in 2013, and the international community, including Washington, up until the Islamist group completed their lightning takeover of Afghanistan last month. "They have shown a great deal of pragmatism. Let's seize the opportunities there and look at their public actions," said Khater. Responding skeptically to the Taliban's announcement, German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas said that his country is ready to provide humanitarian aid via the United Nations and will continue to speak to the Taliban to secure the departure from Afghanistan of former employees and others. He added that any commitment beyond that will depend on the Taliban's behavior. Maas said, "The announcement of an interim government without the participation of other groups and yesterday's violence against female demonstrators and journalists in Kabul are not signals that make us optimistic about that." Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan on Tuesday gave a guarded response to the new Afghan government, saying he would closely follow its future course. In his first comments on the Taliban's appointment on Tuesday of Mullah Muhammad Hassan Akhund as leader, Erdogan said he did not know how long the new government's current makeup would last. "We do not know how long this temporary cabinet will last. Our duty now is to follow this process carefully," he said. A new Taliban interim government drawn exclusively from loyalist ranks formally began work on Wednesday with established hardliners in all key posts and no women, despite previous promises to form an inclusive administration for all Afghans. As they transition from militant force to governing power, the Taliban are already facing opposition to their rule with scattered protests, many with women at the forefront, breaking out in cities across the country. With references to the Mahabharata and Durga Puja, West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee kicked off her campaign on Wednesday for the Bhavanipur Assembly by-poll to be held on September 30. "We have to play and win. We are not mice but tigers," she said to Trinamool Congress workers and supporters, while repeating the TMC's hugely popular Khela Hobe slogan and taking several digs at the Bharatiya Janata Party. The TMC chief accused the BJP of conspiring against her. "They are more evil than Duryodhan and Dushasan. Because of their conspiracy, I had to contest from Nandigram. But I'm happy that I'm back to my home, Bhavanipur," she said. Mamata expressed confidence that she would win again on her home turf this time, but urged people to come out and vote as there could be a conspiracy. "We have to concentrate on high polling. This election is a challenge and will have bearings on the 2024 general elections," she said at the meeting. Responding to her remarks, Bengal BJP President Dilip Ghosh said, "Whether she, that is Mamata, is a lioness or a tigress, we've seen that in Nandigram. She left Bhavanipur to contest in Nandigram. On the other hand, TMC workers started hurling bombs at BJP MP Arjun Singh's residence early this morning. We can see how scared they are." The Cabinet Committee on Security on Wednesday approved the procurement of 56 C-295 MW transport aircraft from Messrs. Airbus Defence and Space SA, Spain, giving a big boost to the Indian Air Force. The transport aircraft will gradually replace the aging Avro fleet of the IAF. As per a statement from the Ministry of Defence, 16 aircraft will be delivered in flyaway condition from Spain within 48 months of signing the contract. The rest, 40, will be manufactured in India by Tata Consortium over a period of 10 years. This is the first project of its kind in which a military aircraft will be manufactured in India by a private company, it said, adding all 56 aircraft will be installed with indigenous electronic warfare suite. The project will give a boost to the aerospace ecosystem in India, wherein several MSMEs spread over the country will be involved in manufacturing of parts of the aircraft, the statement added. It said the OEM will discharge its offset obligations through direct purchase of eligible products and services from Indian offset partners, giving a further boost to the economy. The C-295MW transport aircraft is a transport carrier that has a 5 to 10 ton capacity with a rear ramp door for quick reaction and para-dropping of troops and cargo. The statement said that the program is in line with the Atmanirbhar Bharat plans of the government and will augment domestic aviation manufacturing, resulting in reduced import dependence and expected increase in exports. Violent clashes erupted between activists of the ruling BJP and the principal opposition CPIM in different parts of Tripura on Wednesday. Trouble started at Udaipur town in Gomati district of Tripura after CPIM's youth wing, Democratic Youth Federation of India, took out a procession and a few activists from the rally allegedly attacked a ruling BJP activist who was passing by, injuring him seriously. Police said a group of BJP activists who were camping nearby retaliated by attacking the DYFI procession. Police said two to three persons were injured, but their political affiliation was not known. According to sources, CPIM party offices in Agartala, Bishalgarh and Kathalia were also vandalized and set on fire after the Udaipur clash. The clashes follow an earlier round of violence on Monday between workers of the two parties when former Tripura Chief Minister Manik Sarkar was allegedly prevented from proceeding to Dhanpur. Police said the injured BJP activist from Udaipur, who was in a critical condition, was shifted to GB Pant Hospital in Agartala. A large contingent of police had to be deployed to disperse the mob and avoid further rioting. Officers also said a group of unidentified miscreants vandalized CPIM's Udaipur party office, while a vehicle belonging to the former Left Front Minister Ratan Bhomik was set ablaze. Agriculture Minister Pranajit Singh Roy rushed to the spot soon after the clash and took stock of the situation. The All India Senior Selection Committee on Wednesday picked the Indian cricket team for the upcoming ICC Men's T20 World Cup 2021, with Shikhar Dhawan and Yuzvendra Chahal the big omissions in the 15-member squad. R. Ashwin, Varun Chakravarti and Rahul Chahar make the cut, while Shreyas Iyer, Shardul Thakur and Deepak Chahar are named as standby players. MS Dhoni will be part of the squad as a mentor. Former India captain MS Dhoni to mentor the team for the T20 World Cup, BCCI Secretary Jay Shah said during the team announcement. Ashwin, who last played a T20I in 2017, makes a surprise return to the shortest format, and the 15-member squad consists of five spinners. The surprise exclusion is that of Yuzvendra Chahal, who had a decent run in the T20I series in Sri Lanka. Leg spinner Rahul Chahar has earned a spot in the squad after his impressive performances against England and Sri Lanka. While there are no surprises in the batting unit, Shikhar Dhawan is the big name to miss, and it was on expected lines. Ishan Kishan pips Sanju Samson as the backup wicketkeeper to Rishabh Pant in the 15-member squad, while Shreyas Iyer is named in the standbys list. Also in the standbys list is Shardul Thakur, who was expected to be named in the squad proper. In the pace bowling department, Jasprit Bumrah, Mohammad Shami and Bhubaneshwar Kumar are the specialist fast bowlers, with Pandya likely to play the fourth seamer's role. Apart from Pandya, all-rounders Ravindra Jadeja and Akshar Patel also find a place in the squad, while finger spinner Varun Chakravarti also makes the cut. India are placed in the same group as Pakistan for the ICC T20 World Cup 2021. The T20 World Cup will be held in UAE and Oman between October 17 and November 14. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.